Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome our guests. Pleasure to have you with us this morning. Continuing on a series of the Yamas and Niyamas, Hinduism's code of conduct, the 20 principles, 10 restraints, and 10 observances. Today's talk is on restraint, Yama number 7, compassion, daya. The 7th yama is daya, compassion, conquering callous, cruel, and insensitive feelings toward all beings. Gurudeva begins his Living with Shiva lesson on compassion with a most inspired upadesha on this topic. Sometimes it is kind to be cruel, and at other times it is cruel to be kind. This statement has come forward. Ooh. We all right?
Yeah.
Technology. Let's start over. Sometimes it is kind to be cruel, and at other times it is cruel to be kind. This statement has come forward from religion to religion, generation to generation. Compassion tempers all decisions, gives clemency, absolution, forgiveness, as a boon even for the most heinous misdeeds. This is a quality built on steadfastness. Daya comes from deep sadhana, prolonged santosha, contentment, scriptural study, and listening to the wise. It is the outgrowth of the unfolded soul, the maturing of higher consciousness. A compassionate person transcends even forgiveness by caring for the suffering of the person he has forgiven. The compassionate person is like a god. He is the boon giver. Boons which are gifts from the gods come unexpectedly unasked for, and so it is with the grace of a compassionate person. The Tirukkural devotes chapter 25 to compassion, and in its verse 244 stresses its centrality to pursuing Dharma. Practicing charity without compassion is as inconceivable as realizing God without clarity of mind. The Kural chapter says that compassion is a man's greatest wealth, protects one from misfortune and misery, and leads to liberation. Daya, compassion, is focusing on overcoming the instinctive tendency to be totally self-centered and unaware of the feelings of others. We walk past beggars in India and have no clue as to their misery. We visit a home for the elderly and have no sense of the loneliness the residents there experience. This is definitely asking more of us than making sure our actions toward others are not harmful in deeds, words, or thoughts. It is focusing on our inner feelings toward others, something we may not have thought much about. Compassion is defined as conquering callous, cruel, and insensitive feelings toward all beings. A compassionate person would tell a plant verbally if he was going to pick from it, intuiting that the plant has feelings of its own. A compassionate person would seek to keep pests away rather than killing them. A callous person would tear the plant up by its roots. A cruel person would, as a child, pull one wing off a fly and, unless corrected, mature this cruelty on through life until he maimed a fellow human being. Compassion is just the opposite to all this. One can't command compassion. Before compassion comes love. Compassion is the outgrowth of love. Love is the outgrowth of understanding, and understanding is the outgrowth of reason. One must have sufficient memory to remember the various points of reason and enough willpower to follow them through, to be able to psychically look into the core of existence, to gain the reverence for all life, all living organisms, animate or inanimate. Compassion is a very advanced spiritual quality. When you see it exhibited in someone, You know he is very advanced spiritually. Probably an old soul. It really can't be taught. Daya goes with Ananda. Compassion and bliss are a one big package. What is the difference between ahimsa and daya, nonviolence and compassion, one might ask. There is a distinct difference. Not harming others by thought, word, or deed is a cardinal law of Hinduism and cannot be avoided, discarded, ignored, or replaced by the more subtle concept of compassion. Ahimsa, among the yamas and niyamas, could be considered the only explicit commandment Hinduism gives us. Compassion comes from the heart, comes spontaneously. It is a total flow of spiritual, material, intellectual giving, coming unbidden to the receiver. The first stage in the development of compassion is understanding and having sympathy for the sufferings and misfortune of another. This eventually leads to the second stage in the development of compassion, feeling a strong desire to help someone. The person experiencing compassion is often turned around emotionally and mentally as he is giving the clemency, this boon of absolution, despite his own instinctive or intellectual inclinations. This is a spiritual outpouring through a person. Rishi Tirumular used the word arul for this yama. Arul means grace. Thirukkural also uses arul for compassion. How do compassion and tolerance relate? To be tolerant with people, we need to be able to accept them as they are. Not as we want them to be, but simply as they are. If our feelings toward them are compassionate, we better understand and sympathize with the difficulties they face and are therefore more readily able to accept them as they are. So far, we have mentioned the first two stages in the maturing of compassion. The first, becoming aware of another's sorrow or misfortune. The second stage, a sense of wanting to help. This naturally leads to the third stage in the development of compassion, which is to respond to the situation with a kindly act. We meet some beggars in India and give them money to help their plight. We visit elderly relatives in the hospital and give them some of our time by talking with them at length. An uncle's wife is in the hospital, and we arrange to cook and bring some meals to help alleviate his burden. This is indeed a mature state of compassion, as our sympathy and understanding of the other's misfortune has led us to improve the situation with a kindly action. Thirukkural praises those who give in this way in many of its verses. Here is verse 214. He who understands the duty of giving truly lives, all others shall be counted among the dead. There is a special category of people with whom compassion can be quite challenging. It is those who have wronged us, those who are on our list of enemies. At best, we simply ignore them. At worst, we would be really happy if a serious misfortune befell them. If misfortune does happen to them, at best we are unconcerned, and at worst we are quite happy. In either case, this is not fulfilling the ideal of compassion. We need to resolve these kinds of interpersonal entanglements for maximum spiritual progress. If they apologize and show true remorse, we need to forgive them and remove them from our list of enemies, wish them well in life, and feel compassion toward them, as we do for others. One simple way to increase our compassion for people is to take care of animals. This is particularly helpful in teaching compassion to children. We learn to understand the needs of the animal and how to take care of it without unnecessarily disturbing or hurting it. Learning to be kind to pets as a child helps us be kind to people as an adult. With a developed sense of compassion, the presence of abuse and other cruelties in the family are unacceptable to us. This is because we deeply feel the suffering that the other family member is enduring and realize that it can and should be avoided. Opposing such family abuse is an excellent way to cultivate compassion. In conclusion, practice compassion by conquering callous, cruel, and insensitive feelings toward all beings. See God everywhere. Be kind to people, animals, plants, and the earth itself. Forgive those who apologize and show true remorse. Foster sympathy for others' needs and suffering. Honor and assist those who are weak, impoverished, aged, or in pain. Oppose family abuse and other cruelties. Om Namah Shivaya.